It's time now for the Pulpit Hour, featuring some of God's choice preachers. Stay tuned at the end of today's message for information on how you can obtain a copy of today's sermon.
Pray and holy manna will be showered all around.
Isaiah chapter number 9. And you're going to think it's a Christmas text, but it's just a good text because it's in the Word of God and it's about Jesus. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, boy, is that important tonight? And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of what?
Peace.
What's the world missing? America missing? No peace. All right, now let's read it together out loud. For unto us, amen. Father, for the next moment or two, would you sober us, separate us, and allow us to worship you. God, I pray tonight, you'd touch us. We don't want to see each other. We want to see you. I pray tonight that you would rule and reign. I pray that you would give exactly what every heart and every life needs. If there's still someone that needs to be saved, I pray this will be the night of their salvation. If there's still a prodigal daughter here that's not got it settled, or a prodigal son, I pray they'd get homesick tonight. If there's a Christian here tonight that's under great burden and stress, I pray you'd be the God of great encouragement tonight. I pray that we would understand who your son Jesus is. And what he's going to do for us. The darker it gets outside, the brighter he gets. May we focus on him tonight as never before. Because we understand that his name is Jesus. And there's just something about that name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Bible says that his name shall be called. I think it's very interesting that when we do our research, that Joseph didn't name the baby. Mary didn't name the baby. God named the baby. Isn't that interesting? God said his name. We're in the book of Isaiah. We're not in Bethlehem. We're in the book of Isaiah. His name shall be called Jesus. When you see where it's headed, you see that Jesus was already being planned and purposed for the salvation of lost men. Now notice what the phrasing says. And his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, when I begin to think about what we're facing, we all know that his name is Jesus. We know who that wonderful one is, that counselor is. We know that he's our Lord, he's our Savior, and he's our coming King. In our world today, more than any other time, we need the sure word of God's holy word. There's never been a day and an hour when we need the promise and the assurance of God's word. Men are writing a lot of words. Words are on the internet. Words are in magazine. Words are in the newspaper. And the words that need to be read and reread are often neglected in today's world because it is the sure word of God. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord and the darker it gets outside, the more we need to be driven to the word of God. We don't need false hopes. We need someone that can help us. Help sometimes, or a emotional help that we need, It seems to be lacking when we are really praying and we think maybe the heavens are made of brass and we think, what am I going to do? How am I going to get any help? And sometimes we begin to judge ourselves and look at ourselves and we find ourselves isolated because we're looking at us through our eyes rather than looking at us through God's eyes. And God's eyes is that He said, whosoever will may come. God's eyes said that I'll forgive you no matter what you've said, what you've done, or where you've been. God's eyes said, I love you so much that I gave my son to die for you. God's eyes are when He looks through the blood of His own son. I was preaching down in Mississippi, and one of the fellows in the church left to hunt, and he left to fish, and we had a lot in common. And so he called me one day, and he said, could I take you out for lunch, and I'll pick you up, and we'll go eat. And so we did, and we went out, and we had some catfish and hush puppies and french fries and sweet tea. And, boy, we just had a big old time, ate some onion rings and baked beans and a little more catfish. And he said, I tell you what, let's do. He said, I want to ride you over and show you part of my farm. And I said, okay. And so we went over and we parked at this beautiful barn, and there's about 8 or 9 big old tractors, and he's showing me his deer stands, and he's showing me his bean patches. And then we came through a clearing, and there's a big old chicken house. And then he said, did a little spin around. He went out here, and he said, now look down through there. And boy, there was chicken house after chicken house after chicken house. And I thought, my goodness, you got to be the friend of the preacher. You got all that chicken. Because I like fried chicken, boiled chicken. I mean, roasted chicken. I love chicken. And so we were talking to each other and laughing. And he said, let's go inside there. And he said, there's 50-some thousand chickens in this one house. And I said, well, boy, I'm telling you what, God's blessed you. I said, I've never seen so much land. I said, I thought I was in Arkansas, and we're still on your farm. And he said, well, let's go in here and check on my chickens. And we went in there, and I said, buddy, I knew you had money and God had blessed you, but I didn't have any idea how He had blessed you. Every chicken had a little old pair of red sunglasses. Every chicken. I mean, He hadn't wasted any money on His chickens. Every one of them had a little old pair of red glasses on. And I thought, now, what did that cost Him to go? And how much time did it take to put a little old pair of red sunglasses on every chicken? And I said, man, that is cool. I said, I knew you that. I said, I don't know what to say. I've never seen cool chickens. Every one of them were white leghorns, and they all had a little pair of red sunglasses. All looked like Fonzie walking around, just styling and profiling. And I said, what in the world's that about? He said, I want to raise my chickens. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, most chicken farmers, they lose a lot of their chickens. He said, because that chicken, if they start picking at each other, he said, when they see a little bit of pink flesh and those white feathers are knocked off, they'll pick at that spot. They think it's something, and they'll pick at it till they pick each other to death. And he said, every day you'll pick up 20, 30 birds dead, sometimes 100. And they get to fight, and they'll knock the feathers out, and they'll see that pink spot. And he said, if I put those little sunglasses on them, all they see through there is pink. And they can't tell any difference in the feather and the skin. And he said, they'll leave each other alone. And I said, just hold on. And I went outside and had a spell. I ran around the chicken house and shouted for 15 minutes. Because I got to thinking, in heaven, there's a holy God. And He had a darling son named Jesus Christ. And when He looks at old Ralph, He has to look through the blood. And I started understanding it, what it meant. He doesn't see my faults and He doesn't see my shortcomings. He just sees the blood of His darling son. And I begin to understand if we're really saved and washed in the blood, it'll make all the difference in the world, because we'll be looking just like Jesus at each other. You won't be picking at each other in the house of God. You won't be picking at your pastor. You won't be picking at the deacons. You'll be too busy saying, "Woo! All I can see is the blood, and it's been applied, and my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to heaven." See, the difference is how we view the Lord Jesus Christ. Did He cover your sins by the blood? When I begin to go down through here, I think about the Christ of God. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the Lord of the Sabbath. I think about the Lord of hosts. I think about the Lord of heaven and earth. I think about Jesus Christ, our Lord. I think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I begin to think about the Savior of the world. And then I start understanding that He is my Savior. It's now personal. And I pray tonight that He is your Savior. And if you're watching on television or on the internet around the world, you listen, wherever you are, this Jesus is so mighty and so powerful that He can invade your sin and forgive all your sins and cover them by the royal red blood of Calvary, never to be remembered against you again. And there's only one in the whole world that can do that, and His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the Savior. He is Emmanuel. He is the teacher. He is the Rabboni. He is the Word of God defined. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Him. God defines Him as to who He is. He's Jesus Christ. He is the Master. He is the Lawgiver. He is the Savior. He is the Forerunner. There's no one like Him, because He is the Redeemer. He is the Messiah. He is the Shiloh. He is the Mediator. He is the Deliverer. He is the Intercessor. Jesus is His name. And Jesus is Messiah and Prince. A Prince and a Savior. Mighty to save. And for all of us tonight, as we gather here in 2008, looking with our little spiritual binoculars, looking for the coming King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Kinsman Redeemer, my best friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that we have the surety of the New Testament, the Just One, the Holy One, the Holy and the Just One, the Holy and the Righteous One, the Holy One of God, the Faithful and the True Witness. Jesus is His name, and He is all the difference in all the world, because Jesus is our Messiah. He is a witness to the people. He's a leader and a commander to the people. He is the consolation of the nation of Israel. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Why, when I think about the feast, I know that He is the first fruits. He is the hope of Israel. He is the first begotten. He is a branch of righteousness. He, Jesus Christ, is the second Adam. He is the last Adam. He is the coming King. He's the King of Zion. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of the saints. He's the Prince and King of this earth. I'm talking about Jesus, your King, your Redeemer, your Savior. He is immortal. He is invisible. He's got the power. He is the one that will make all the difference in your world, my world, your life, my life. There's nobody like Him. And His name is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You must remember that He's God manifest in the flesh. He's not half God and half man, but He's all God and all man. He's not a part-time God. He's not trying to be God. He's all God. He was God this morning. He was God at lunch. He was God at supper. He'll be God at the midnight hour. And if you live to see daylight, He'll be God when you get up in the morning. You won't catch Him off guard. He is God. He is the Father. He is the Holy Spirit. And His name is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you begin to understand your relationship, He is in you and you are in Him. Then you begin to understand that this is not your payday. Your payday is on the way. It's when you see Him, you shall be like Him. He's going to deal with all this wicked stuff. He's going to deal with the evil one. He's going to deal with all those that deny Him and to try to curse Him and try to make fun of Him and try to mock Him. Because one day He will be the judge of the world. He will be the judge of Jerusalem because He is the righteous judge, the judge of Israel, the judge of all nations. He'll be the desire of all nations. He'll be the ensign of all nations. He's the captain of the Lord of hosts. He's a banner upon the high and holy mountain. And His holy name is the only messianic hope for an old sin-sick world. The messenger of the covenant, a minister of the sanctuary, the author and the finisher of our faith, our advocate with the Father. He is my friend that walks in front of a holy God and petitions God on my behalf. He is the one that has access to God and to God's ear. Jesus is the one that can invade your storm and invade my storm and then take the news of our need to the ear of His own Father. He's the one that has the power to walk out on the waves and calm the storm. This same Jesus, there's somebody like Him in the world. Because if you try to bury Him, He'll just get out of the grave. If you try to seek Him, He'll just walk on the water. His name is Jesus. He's a mighty God, a mighty King. He calms the storm. He knows the hell you're going through. He knows the battle you're fighting. He knows that you have no hope and you have no help. Nobody can plead your case. Nobody can get to you. But Jesus can find you. Jesus knows where you are. And He can bring peace to you. Because He has the power to be our peace. He has the power to be our ransom. He has the power to be our Passover. He is our great high priest. He's the one that took His own blood right past all of those that said He'd die and never get up. And He took His own blood, walked into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled it on the mercy seat and said, now Ralph can come home because I took His sin, I took His death, I took His hell, and I have shed my blood that He can be made whole. What kind of God is this? Our high priest, forever and ever in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is the bringer of peace. Jesus brings peace in the night. Why? Because He has the power over all things. Jesus is the King of righteousness. Jesus is the King of Salem. Jesus is the King of peace. I was created like Him because He knows my flesh and He knows me. Into the image of God was I created. The man Christ Jesus. A man approved of God. Our elder brother. The firstborn among many brethren. That we would be able to sit here tonight and know that Jesus will not abandon us. He knows about the weakness of our flesh. He knows about the stress of our circumstance. He knows our anxiety and He knows our fear. He knows the time that we said we would do better and we did worse. He knows about the time that we said, I'll be faithful this time, and you stumbled before you got out of the parking lot. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the master. He is your master. He's your Lord and master. He's the good master. He's not a fake Savior. He's not a wannabe Savior. He's not a plastic Jesus on your dashboard. He's a holy God that's alive and well. He's got eyes to see, hands to reach out and touch. He's got the power to change the circumstance and the situation. He is the mighty horn of salvation. He is the captain of my salvation. He is the brightness of the Father's glory. He is the glory as of the only holy begotten one of God. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the express image of the person of the God that we love. He is my God and He is your God. He is my love and He is your love. He is the fullness of the Godhead abidedly. He is the bridegroom. He's the beginning and the creation of God. No man shall see the Father without knowing this same Jesus. There's no way you'll ever meet God. No way you'll ever see the gates of heaven. No way you'll ever walk on streets of gold. There's no way to bypass this Jesus. No way you can get around Him, because He declared, I am the door. And if you're going to ever see the Father, you'll have to come to this door. Humble yourself and say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Why? Because He is the way and He is the truth. When you begin to understand who Jesus is, no wonder the Bible calls Him the way of the truth, the way of life, the tree of life, the light of life, the word of life, the bread of life, the prince of life, and life eternal. Because Jesus is the water of life, the living water, the living bread, the bread which came down from heaven, and the true bread from heaven, the hidden manna. Jesus is His name, and Jesus is His power, because He's been declared by God to be the door, and to be the door of the sheep. Jesus, my God and my Lord, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. How will I ever make it through this old crazy world? How will we get through the ups and downs of the market? How are we going to get through the election? How will you get through sickness? How will you get through that test at the hospital? How will you get through financial problems? There's no way without this Jesus. What kind of Jesus is He? Well, He's the shepherd. He's the shepherd that cares about you. He's the shepherd that doctors you. He's the shepherd that walks with you. He's the shepherd that feeds you. He is the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd of the sheep. He's the shepherd and bishop of my soul. Jesus is the shepherd, and He is also God's lamb. He's a lamb without spot and a lamb without blemish. A lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. What love is this Jesus, and what grace is He that He would look our way and love on us? When we begin to understand that He is in that position, He is not only all that I need, but He provides all that I need. When I begin to understand that He is the vine, the true vine, the root of Jesse, the prophet of Nazareth, the root and offspring of David. He is a prophet mighty in word and mighty in deed, the prophet of the highest. Jesus, His holy name, is my life. The Bible declares that Jesus is His sweet name, and He is the day star, the day spring from on high. He is the heir of all things. He's a tried stone, a living stone, an elect stone, a sure foundation, a stone, a chosen of God and precious, the rock. He is the spiritual walk. Rock, He is the one that is altogether lovely. He's the fairest among 10,000. He's the bride in the morning star. He's God the Father, He's God the Son, and He's God the Holy Ghost. That's Him, Jesus, not some man-made stone carved out by man's hands, decorated with precious jewels, but He's the living God. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the power of God. He is the wisdom of God. He's a gift from God. He's the Word of God. He is the image of God. He's God's elect. He's God's Lamb, which taketh away the sins of the world. Not a sissy God, not a weak God, not a part-time God, not some man's vain imagination, but a living God with power to change circumstances. He's God Almighty. He's in charge. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is your King, and He's coming again. The Bible declares this Jesus is the first and He's the last. He's the beginning and He's the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Ancient of Days. He's the King of Kings, and He's the Lord of Lords. He's the blessed and only Potentate. He's God with us. He is God our Savior. He's the only wise God, our salvation. Hey, when you begin to think about Him, there's nobody like Him. His name is holy. His life is holy. His gift is holy. He is your friend. He will stay with you. He will not abandon you. He will not cast you away, because He knows your name. If I know His name, He knows my name. And one day, not only does He know my name, but according to the Word of God, when I get home and I get through the gates and He wipes the old world off of me and welcomes me home and takes me to the marriage supper. And when He's wiping away every tear and every heartache, He's going to whisper a little name in my ear that nobody will know but me and Him. Hey, and 1,000,000 years from that marriage supper of the Lamb, 2,000,000 years later, I'll be running around Jupiter and Mars trying to find a place to put up the tent. And all of a sudden, I'll hear something, and it'll be, I said, whoa, 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 whoa. And they said, what's the matter? I said, He just called my love name. His name is Jesus. His name is Kinsman Redeemer. His name is a holy name. His name is higher than all names. But He just whispered my name. I know His name, but I thank God in heaven that He knows my name. And He'll call me, and I'll go to fellowship with Him because He loved me before He made worlds. And I am His child. And He loved me so much that He died for me. And He bought me and forgave all my sin. That I can rejoice in Him tonight, knowing who He is and what He is. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord which is. He is the Lord which was. He is the Lord which is to come. He is Almighty. He is the Son of Mary. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of David. He is the Son of the Blessed and the Most High God. And His name is Jesus. And He loves me tonight. One of the things you quickly understand is that He is the Son of Righteousness. He's the Son of the Highest. God said, when He looked at Him, He said, this is my Son. He declared that He would associate with Him. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of the living God. He's God's dear Son. He's the only begotten Son of God. Men despise Him. They laugh about Him. They mock Him. They make jokes about Him. They call people that follow Him fanatics and Jesus freaks. They try to make you think that you're falling off a load of pumpkins on the way to the county fair if you even hang out with Him. But I got news for you. You need to read the book and find out this is a great and wonderful God that we love and serve. A God of power. A God of authority. A God that threw stars and suns off His fingertips. A God that spoke and put universes into their sockets. And this same God said, I love you so much on earth, I'm going to send my only Son, my begotten Son, my blessed Son, the Son of the living God, the God that I love. And I loved Him so much that when He took your sin, I couldn't even look upon Him. I had to turn my back because He had your wickedness upon Him. Not half your sin, but all your sin. He didn't take 2/3 of my sin. I didn't take half my sin, and I've got to work the rest of the way to the house. No, no, no. He took all my sin and covered it with His royal blood so that it'd never be remembered against me again. And God heard His own darling Son hang on the cross. And from the cross, He said, oh, Dad, He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because He took the sins of you, and He took the sins of me, so that He could take us home with Him for all eternity. No man will ever see the Father through religion. No man will ever see the Father through tribal rites. No man will ever see the Father through baptism or catechism or through sprinkling or ritual. No man will ever see the Father through giving of money and alms and precious gold and jewels. No man will ever see the Father by living the life of a celibate or not eating meat. No man will ever see the Father by doing good deeds. If you want to see the Father, there's only one way to ever see Him. You got to go through His Son, His only Son, His holy Son, His begotten Son, because He loves Him. He loves Him so much because He bought you and He bought me. You see, when it comes to God, there's no name higher than the name of Jesus. When I'm in distress, when I've got a problem, I always remind God, it's in Jesus' name I even come. I invoke His name in the midnight hour. Sometimes I don't even know how to pray or what to pray, but I just say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. and He knows exactly what to do. I just tell Him I love Him and I care about Him and He cares about me. Why? His name is Jesus. It's a holy name. It's a sweet name. It's a pure name. It's the live name that the church was left with, that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to whistle through the graveyard tonight. We don't have to tiptoe through the tulips. Jesus died for you. Jesus bought you, and He'll get you safe home. God is real. Jesus is real. And you ought to vow tonight, I'm going to serve Him with all my heart, all my strength, and all my might, because one day I want to go home with Jesus.
Brethren, we have met to worship.
That concludes our Pulpit Hour message for today. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, you can call our studios at 828-884-9427 or write to us at WGCR 3232 Hendersonville Highway, Pisgah Forest, North Carolina 28768. You can also hear today's message on our website at WGCR.net. The Pulpit Hour is brought to you by Anchor Broadcasting.